Do you know anyone with just terrible judgment? I'm not saying moving across the country for 6 months and devoting yourselves to God's work is terrible judgment. But I know some people who have made some bad decisions. People who never seem to learn. The kind of person who comes up to you and they say, "Man, can you believe someone threw this away?" "Yeah, I can believe it. I'm going to eat it." No, 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 do not do that. I think just about in any group of friends or any family, there's someone there who has judgment that's much less good than the people around them. I see a couple of you looking to the person next to you. I don't see too many people pointing up at me. You know, if you're trying to think through all your friends and family members, and you can't think of anyone with bad judgment, it might be you. You know, people who never seem to learn. We say, "Yeah, you know how we can reach up there? If we just put this ladder over here and this ladder right here, and we put the third ladder on top, I think we could make it up there." "No, I don't think so. Hey, I have a rope in my garage. I bet if we just loop that around the trailer hitch, we could tow your car out of here." "I think you're supposed to use some special tools for that. Don't just grab any rope and start to pull a car." People who act like kids. You know, little kids, they're known for just having terrible judgment. You come up to them and, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? "Oh, I've never touched a cactus before." "Yeah, well, don't start. Don't start. We have things to do today. This will ruin the whole day for you." Sometimes our terrible judgment extends to other things. Not just the practical things of this world, what to touch and where to go and how to do certain jobs, but we can have terrible moral judgment as well, can't we? That we look around and we think, "Yeah, I think I know what I can do here." And if the right person intervenes, what are you doing?" "Well, I just wanted to do this." "Yeah, but it's wrong." Oh, yeah, sorry. And sometimes even then, how bad can it be? The story that we're looking at today in Joshua is a story of a person who had terrible judgment and the story of terrible judgment that came upon him. We're picking up in Joshua chapter 7. In Joshua 7, we have already read last week the very first part of this chapter, that after the fall of Jericho, the people of Israel set out again, and you remember they went to the town of Ai to go and take that one, and the spies had told them it's not going to be any trouble, and then they were defeated. Then the verse 1 there tells us why. The people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. And so now, as we pick up in verse 10, we're going to hear the Lord's response to Joshua as Joshua and the elders came and prayed and sought God's will in the midst of this defeat. They come to find out what has happened here in the story of this man and what he has done and the sin that was in the midst of the people. So we'll pick up in Joshua 7, starting in verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things, they have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more, unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people, and say, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes. And the tribe that the Lord takes by lot shall come near by clans. And the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by households. And the household that the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And he who is taken with the devoted things shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near tribe by tribe, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought near the clans of Judah, and the clan of the Zerahites was taken. And he brought near the clan of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought near his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua, "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw the spoil of a beautiful cloak from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent, with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel. And they laid them down before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver and the cloak and the bar of gold, and his sons and daughters, and his oxen and donkeys and sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why do you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. And we ask that you would open our hearts, open our minds. Let us hear from you and be changed this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have the story of this man who at the Battle of Jericho saw some things and coveted them and took them. A man of terrible judgment, and yet a man who is all too familiar, wrapped up in sin. We see the seriousness of our sin here. Not just the story of a man who one time did things wrong a long time ago, but for us, a warning about our sin. We know what Achan did. He lays it out there in verses 20 and 21. "I saw a beautiful cloak from Shinar." We're just destroying this whole town? We're going to burn everything, including this cloak? You know, I could use a cloak like that. Oh, and as long as I'm taking the cloak, maybe a little bit of silver, a bar of gold. I'm not sure what his plan was after that. Because he takes the things and he then hides them in his tent. He digs a hole and he buries them. Perhaps he realized that the day after a great battle, when everything was devoted to destruction, wasn't the right day to show up with a new coat. "Hey, where'd you get that?" "Oh, I bought it the other day. Just take it out now." He took these things and he hid them in the middle of his tent with his family. "All right, now everybody, just keep this between us. I'm just going to dig this hole, put some silver and gold in a fancy coat, which I hope to take out someday when people have forgotten about this whole incident. Maybe after a few more towns. We're just going to hide it here and let's say nothing." He even gives his reasoning behind it. When I saw them, I coveted them. He knew they weren't his, but he wanted them anyways. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Isn't much of our sin like that? I know this isn't the right thing to do, but, you know, I want it. It's not what's meant for me, but it's what I'm going to take. He sins, and he tries to hide it. What terrible judgment from this man and his family. To think that he could get away with it. To think that it wouldn't be a problem. To give in to temptation. As Christians today, we must take our sin seriously as well. That it's not a matter of just a coat here or there, or a little bit of silver and gold. But we, as Achan said, when we sin against the Lord God. God who has everything and by rights deserves everything. It can be easy to just be a little bit okay with our sin. You know, if you ask most Christians, you know, when is your plan? If you were setting a date in the future, when are you planning to stop sinning? Well, my plans don't extend quite that far. I think maybe a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less. But I guess I don't have a plan of let's sin no more starting tomorrow. That's too soon. Next week. That we let things stay in our life that shouldn't. You know, just for fun, let's just all shout out our biggest sin. All right, 1, 2, 3. I put myself in God's place. Did no one else shout? That's what it comes down to. We decide we're wiser than God. And like Achan, then we try to hide it. Achan's sin and our sin brings God's judgment. God's judgment comes here in two forms. We see God's corporate judgment. We see God's judgment come not just on Achan and his family, but on all of the people of Israel. They're in this together. They're working as a group, as a nation, going through this land. So they've been given certain instructions. Do these things, go these places. Devote the stuff to destruction. Have nothing to do with it. Don't love the things of this world. And now God's judgment comes on the whole nation. But the people suffer. You remember the account of the battle from last week? It just says, the men go up to the city and they run away. That's all you need to know. There was sin among the people. But then we see God's judgment specifically on Achan. This process of calling the tribes forwards, and a tribe is chosen by lot, and then calling the clans forward and the households forwards until this man is chosen. And what do? They go and they take him and not just him. The typical way that Joshua is written, you see this drawn out description. Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the cloak and the bar of gold and his sons and daughters and his oxen and donkeys and sheep and his tent, and all that he had. That God's judgment comes in a terrible way. That they'll be stoned and burned. God takes sin seriously. And it can be hard sometimes reading things like this. Because on the one hand, we see the terrible judgment of God. Something that should strike fear into your hearts. Wow, when God wants to get rid of something, he knows how to get rid of it. Boy, judgment is coming. But then in our own sensibilities, it's easy for us to say that seems a little harsh. Certainly not his whole family. And yeah, I was in their tent. None of them spoke up. But maybe you should cut the kids some slack. Did you really have to get rid of his animals too? What did they have to do with this whole situation? And as we question that, we start moving from understanding the terror that comes in God's judgment, and it can be easy to start to wonder if God's judgment is just terrible itself. Maybe he's being too harsh. I assure you, God is not being too harsh with sin. And yes, judgment is looming. Not just a judgment like what came on Achan and his family, but a judgment that will face this world. All who have sinned. All deserve judgment. Utter destruction. Here done with stones and fire. That a day of judgment is coming. And that there are many, if not in our midst, then certainly very nearby. Family members and neighbors who would be under judgment. In the midst of this story, though, in the midst of this story of Achan and the judgment that he faces, we see incredible opportunity for grace. And grace that sadly Achan did not step into and receive, but grace that was offered in many ways. Look at the way that this judgment was carried out. Achan had committed the sin. He had taken these things. He had buried them in his tent. The people of Israel went off to battle and lost that battle and came back. Joshua and the elders pray and repent and call out to God. And God speaks to them and gives them this message in verse 13. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. This is what the people were to be told. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. There are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. It is announced to the people that they were to wash themselves clean, to be prepared for God to work in their midst. After this announcement, that's what the people did, except Achan and his family. When given the opportunity, when called to repentance and to consecrate themselves, Achan and his family did nothing. When told what the problem was, where the defeat came from, Achan didn't volunteer. Embarrassing time to bring this up. I actually have some devoted things in my tent. Is there a place we can just do like a drop-off? Hey, Joshua, quick question from the back. Is there like a no-questions-asked drop-off area for devoted things, like if you happen to have picked something up? Like in the night, maybe someone just puts it over there, we destroy it, we move on. Achan, why are you asking this? No reason, just wondered. A place was created for Achan to step forward, and he didn't. And then it's repeated over and over again because now they prayed all the people out. Tribe by tribe, they're coming and will be taken by lots. And so the tribes come forward, and Achan is there in that crowd. And for whatever reason, he decides, let's just see how this plays out. The tribe of Judah, that's my tribe. How did God get that right? You know what? I'm not going to say anything. There's a bunch of clans. I could go to a different clan. No one knows. That's my clan. You know what? I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to say anything. We'll see how this goes. Oh, the households are being brought. Okay. Please don't choose Zabdi. Don't choose Zabdi, not Zabdi. No, come on. How does this guy know? You know what? I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to say anything. There's a few other families here. It might be one of the other guys. You don't know. I might get away with it still. Okay, it's me. Still, he doesn't really repent. Achan does end up answering Joshua when he says, truly I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. Then he makes them send people to his tent. Go dig the stuff out. Bring it back. Lay it in front of them. His answer seems good at first blush. Oh, okay, you caught me. You found me out. I've sinned. You know, David, when he was with Bathsheba, the prophet came to him, and his answer starts out very similar. I've sinned against the Lord. Then David repents. He turns and he humbles himself. He prays for the child that he's told he's going to lose. He comes with confession and asking for mercy. Achan, we don't see any of that. I really believe that there will come a time when everybody confesses their sins. But for many people, that moment when they declare that Jesus is Lord and they have betrayed him will come only with judgment right behind it. All the chances that are given to Achan, and he does not respond. He hides in the corner. And so in the end, the little bit that he says is not enough to escape judgment. We know that this is actually not the way the plan is supposed to go. This is laid out in the law. When Moses gave the law to the people, he told them how the pattern is supposed to go, that if they sin, then things happen around them that convict them of that sin. And when they're convicted, then the next step is not hide and hope no one finds out. The next step is repent and accept God's grace. We've seen this in the book of Jonah. Jonah goes to declare destruction to Nineveh. You guys are all going to be destroyed. And what do the people of Nineveh say? People who do not know God. All of us, let's stop eating. Let's put on sackcloth. Let's stop all the evil things we're doing. Put away our violence. We'll call it to God, and maybe he will relent. And then destruction passes them by. At the core, we see grace offered through Jesus. The work of Jesus that in our sin, we deserve judgment. And then Jesus comes. He makes a way for grace. Taking on himself the punishment for our sins. Offering grace to those who would accept it. There are many still who hear that story and say, you know, it's not for me. Or, yeah, you know, one day, when I'm older, when things settle down in life, maybe I'll check it out a little bit. People who may be caught unaware when judgment comes. We are offered incredible grace. And yet, as Christians, even receiving grace through Jesus Christ we still must remember the seriousness of sin. That sin is still a serious thing. There are some who may be surprised as Jesus spoke in the Gospels at what judgment looks like, who come saying, come on, we did a bunch of good stuff. I never knew you. We are warned through the New Testament that even for people who acknowledge the work that God does, that acknowledge the work of Jesus, you should examine yourself. Look at your own heart. Look at the way that you live and the fruit that you bear. You say you have faith. Well, what are you doing? There are many who say they believe and it doesn't affect them at all. But move from an intellectual faith, yeah, I know some things about God and so I should be okay. I sure hope he judges based on pop quiz. Name 5 books of the Bible and you can come into heaven. Yes! But too many people who are worried that he might look a little bit deeper. So you say that Jesus is your Lord. Prove it. How does anybody know? It is easy to slip into sin. It's easy to slip into really big sin, and it's easy to let really small sin pile up. Things that we call small. As God's people, we are called to take sin seriously. To remember the judgment of God, terrible in its power and efficiency. To accept God's grace through the work of Jesus Christ. And then we have been given an incredible blessing to make that grace known. To call out to a world that is facing judgment, that there is a way you can be saved. Perhaps all Achan needed was someone there that day who was willing to speak up. Achan, now's your chance. You need to say something. Repent today. Did you hear the part about how if they get to the end of the choosing process, they kill the guy? I would hurry up. All around us, there are people who need encouragement today. Who need to hear of God's grace. Who need someone to walk beside them in that journey of accepting the grace of God. As we come to the communion table, we remember this work of grace and judgment. The work of Jesus and the words that he said when he was about to be betrayed at the end of his life. He came and he gathered his disciples. They reflected back on that Passover meal, a time of God's judgment, but also his grace. And he came to the table. We come to this table as well.